You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Last night, the Greens Medicinal Cannabis Bill, presented by Chloe Swarbrick, was voted down in its first reading by 73 votes to 47. The bill went further than the government's Medicinal Cannabis Bill by allowing those with doctor's permission to grow their own cannabis. Despite National saying some MPs would be allowed to vote on conscience, all National MPs ended up voting against the bill, along with the entirety of New Zealand First. I spoke with Chloe about the bill, first asking her how she was feeling after the bill was voted down.
Pretty gutted. You know, we gave everything that we had to this, both the whole kind of Green team, a huge number of organisations and patients out there got grey power behind it to back the bill, obviously the likes of Helen Clark as well, and a number of different organisations for different people who are experiencing suffering at the hands of what is currently a really archaic, unfit for purpose legal framework. So yeah, really quite gutted that petty politics won at the end of the day, not the voices of those who are currently in pain and suffering. Also just feel as though kind of looking around the chamber and, you know, obviously made my point in my opening speech, that first reading, that 78% of New Zealanders support this, and that's been pretty consistent year on year, the general premise of the bill, that medicinal marijuana should be available to those who need it, and only 39% of those in the House voted for it. So it really doesn't quite feel like a House of Representatives on that point, and I hope that this is a springboard for more people to start getting involved and realising that politics isn't just something that happens every 3 years with the general election campaign, but you know, it's in our everyday lives, everything's political, so I hope that they seek to really start getting involved more and more and holding their politicians to account.
And were you surprised by the number of MPs that voted against it?
Yeah, as I just said, yeah, 39% only in the House voted in favour of it, so it was definitely quite a majority. I think what happened is, as I've mentioned as well, the petty politics came into it, but I think a few people, when they realised that it was going to be tight, they didn't want to stick their neck out, and that was quite sad for me to see, you know, just that people weren't willing to be bold and brave and stand up for, you know, all of the community was in the gallery, and there were thousands of people who had obviously actively tuned in. I know MPs had received to the tune of hundreds of emails, the stories of patients and otherwise, and it was just really gutting to see that that was ignored. Also, what I heard in all of the speeches, and obviously I only had about 5 minutes to respond to at the end, there were a lot of MPs who didn't seem to have read the bill. They talked about how the regulatory framework wasn't there. The regulatory framework was there. It was in Section 6, and that's exactly the mandate that the Select Committee would have had to refine had it gone through its first reading. So too many people talked about how this hadn't been done overseas, etc., etc. But, you know, this has existed in the same legal framework where you can nominate a person to produce your medicinal cannabis for you, and the likes of Canada and 29 US states, including Hawaii, which is a very similar kind of smaller community, quite comparable to New Zealand. So yeah, I just feel like a lot of people didn't do their research, and in doing so they shut down a really crucial conversation and also the scope of potential for change that will be put before Select Committee. But we're working today on everything that we can do to see that that potential for change is still there, and we don't lose this momentum and those patients don't have their voices shut down.
Because Labor does have a similar bill going through at the moment, but your bill went further, which seemed to be what the likes of many National MPs, New Zealand First MPs, disagreed with. How much further did your bill go?
So I don't know if it's quite fair to say that they were Labor's. It's not actually Labor's. It's the government's bill was a similar bill. Essentially, what the government's bill did is kind of three things. The first one is provide a criminal defence for those with a terminal illness who are caught using cannabis, which they would obviously still have to get illegally. How a criminal defence works is you still have to be prosecuted, and then you'd have to go to court and prove that you are sick. And in the case of terminal illness as legally defined that you have 12 months to live. So effectively people would still be being criminalised, it's just a criminal defence. And as many people mentioned in their speeches, the issue is that they'd like to see it extended to chronic pain, but then for some reason weren't willing to have the discussion about the definition of chronic pain, instead just wanted to shut that down. So that was disappointing. But the other part of the other two parts of the government's bill, the second relates to in the next few years we will see the development of a framework for access to medicinal cannabis, which I think is promising, but again I don't think that it's fair that patients now have to wait, and thirdly that eventually we will be setting up a kind of licensing scheme for domestic producers, which is something that is promising and hopefully also benefits the regions with job creation and otherwise. The thing and where my bill differs is it's much more in line actually with international standards. I've mentioned previously those US states and Canada as well, where there is access for people who, you know, are prescribed it by a doctor to produce their own medicinal cannabis or nominate someone to do that for them. This is essentially actually at the moment the underground status quo. You may have seen in the news last year there were several, you know, a handful of what have colloquially been dubbed the Green Fairies. So, you know, these otherwise, for lack of a better word, regular law-abiding people who are risking jail time to distribute medicinal cannabis around their communities. And I think that we have to ask why those people are willing to do that. And at the end of the day, it's because the law is broken and people are suffering. So, yeah, it was just really disappointing to see that scope for potential in my bill voted down at its first hurdle, because it means now that potential for change, that part of the conversation is closed down. But we're doing everything that we can to make sure that we keep this momentum up.
The public support is consistently very high for medicinal cannabis. So do you feel National is out of step with public opinion in this, or were they just voting against your bill to sort of, you know, they didn't seem soft on this issue?
Yeah, I do think that the timing is really unfortunate. Obviously, there was all of that really bizarre speculation yesterday, which kind of felt like, I don't know where it originated from, but a bit of a storm in a teacup about their leadership. Obviously, that'll be up for question over the next 12 months, I have no doubt, but it was just a bit of a dubious timing, and I think it meant that there was a more conservative lean. And that meant that people kind of fell in line, because it, you know, wasn't about questioning the status quo at that point in time for their caucus. Just really also bizarre, the rhetoric as to why they decided to vote as a bloc. They said that they, you know, don't vote as a, that they'll only take conscience votes when it isn't something that, you know, isn't a drug issue. They'll only take conscience votes when it is a health issue. But I just find, you know, the logical inconsistency with the likes of the end of life choice bill, David Seymour's bill, where, you know, MPs were able to vote with their conscience on that, but not on this. And in both of those situations, we're talking about people who are suffering.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.